So thank you for coming out for Wednesday service. Jane is dealing with some healing from mouth surgery, and so has asked me to focus service tonight. And we have a lineup for you of seven speakers and a singer. So just to kind of recap the lineup for everyone, we're going to start with Jerry sharing a song, and then we will hear from Adam, Catherine, Rude, Kiahi, Miranda, Cease, and then myself to close the hour. Seven is a magic number of creation.
10 o'clock.
No, no, no. We're going to end in time, even though there is no clock on the wall. So, I'll help keep time for all the speakers. If I raise my hand, then that'll let you know that time is beginning to close per window. And help us welcome Jerry up to open the atmosphere with a song.
All right. Well, some of you remember Patrick's poem on Sunday. It ended with the word smile. So I thought it'd be very appropriate, since we're all in a good mood, that I might sing the song Smile. Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your fear and sorrow, smile, and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness, hide every trace of sadness, although a tear may be ever so near. That's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.
That always makes me really melancholy. So we were talking in consideration a few minutes ago a little bit about the fact that this is the week that the first President Bush passed away at 94. He was the last president to have lived in the kind of the era of the World War II and went through all that craziness. And this song actually reminds me of World War II, just because it's kind of inconsistent with that. Please, you have to smile because things are horrible. I mean, it's unbelievable how peaceful the planet is compared to World War II. I mean, historically, down the lowest level. And at that point, it still brought a lot of people together in this horrific place. And character comes out. And I think, while I would not have, and I did not vote for Bush, I didn't agree with his politics at the time. In retrospect, I see a different part of him. I see a character in him that I can admire. And what comes to mind about him that I can admire is one of his failed policies, actually. It was, I don't know if you remember this, it was called 1,000 Points of Light. So he came out with, I think, with best intention to say, you know, we're going to help each other. Like, don't wait for the government to help you, but we're going to help each other. And we're going to do this by investing in thousands of points of light that will be connected together. And you can politically look at it any way you want to. You can criticize it as a lame. You can consider it like a well-meaning thing to hide whatever else he was doing. You can do it anything you want to it. But I just want to propose that the concept, the vision of 1,000 points of light is a beautiful seed. It's a seed of love. And if we're going to always just say, if Bush said it, it sucked, then we don't let it in. And if you can let it in, there is some beauty in the fact that we are all points of light. We are all capable of being our best selves, to bringing the character of love and wisdom and skillful means to bear in any situation. We're capable of doing that. That makes us a point of light. And so in some way, his planting those seeds of this concept, it didn't grow. And part of why it didn't grow was all those things that I mentioned. It's flawed. But the other part of why it didn't grow, it brings me to the sadness of the song, Smile. It's, we want to be cynical. We want to be sarcastic. We want to basically not open ourselves up to the simple truth of the point of light that we are. And that love is more important than being smart or being right. And so I think it's a challenging thing, but I'm proposing that 1,000 points of light is the most beautiful thing he ever said. So, who's next? I can't remember. Catherine.
Good evening. So it's interesting in life, we can sit and have these conversations and share these beautiful things, and I'm kind of in the moment, and then when it's over, it's like, no, what did we say? What did I say I was going to say? So for me, going on your concept, 1,000 points of light, how do we get there? We have this mental concept, we have these spiritual concepts, and for me, to be able to see that in everyone and in everything, it takes sort of an element of surrender. We were talking about humility. How do we get to that place of letting go and humility to let every single being who's in front of us be the bright light that they are? Because otherwise, if our mind and our outer talking, you know, we have this concept of what does love look like? What does light look like? What does freedom look like? We may never get there. So to be in that space of being in the moment for me is surrender. It's letting go and knowing that there's that presence within me, there's that presence within the bushes, there's that presence within Trump. And in any moment, that light can shine through. And if I take time to listen and pay attention, I will see it, I will feel it, I will know it. I remember going to church and when I was younger, and I had such a passion for God, even when the person standing in front of me didn't really know who God was and they pretended that they did, I still saw it. I still felt it because I believed in it. And I could feel it and see it in every moment because it was there. So not sure where I'm going, except I'm just letting the energy come through me. But this life is precious, and we never know when it's going to be gone. We never know how it's going to leave us. We never know what's going to happen to us. We don't know what's going to happen to the planet. We have this mystery. We have this mystery of life, this mystery of spirit. And even if we say, you know, in my heart, in my soul, I know great things are coming. I know the love is coming. I know that heaven on earth is coming. How do we get there? And I think sometimes it's just being in that moment and surrendering to the moment and knowing the light that we have within us and knowing the truth that we have within us, because we don't know what the next big moment's going to be. And so in that, how many times a day do you take a moment and say to yourself, am I listening to the mystery? Am I relaxing into it? Am I surrendering? And what I'm surrendering to, you're not just letting go to this God up in the sky or to something that doesn't make any sense. I'm surrendering to that light within me. Sometimes in the morning when I'm meditating, after I do some centering techniques, I'll put my hands in front of my heart. And that's when my presence starts to just bubble up. And even if I only have time to take a few minutes, I just close my eyes and say, "Oh, there she is," and she's pulsating. There's this light, and sometimes I can see things in my mind's eye. Sometimes I can't. But do you ever take the time to sit and feel your own presence, even for a moment? Even in those tough moments, maybe it's hard to feel, but do we set our intention that, oh, yes, I have a presence? And so does George Bush, 1 and 2. And so does Trump. And we can't always see it. They don't always express it. But how often do we give them the opportunity to express it? And it doesn't mean when their personality is going off the chart, so we don't say no and take our passion and do something different. But it's all about listening in here. So thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Beautiful.
Yeah, when, as a Dutchman, I hear about Bush and the Bush family, I have to be careful to stay humble. So I realized that because the politics and the way this family made money, you know, that's not a good story. But on the moment a person passes away, it's good to see the angel in the being and the character, the true character of the person. And that's the way when the soul goes on this journey to bless that soul in that way, to see the best in that person and the best of virtues and character and the things he did. So in the service prep, it was a kind of teaching to me as an arrogant Dutchman. So about the theme of humility, I discovered that my greatest virtue is being humble. So thank you for laughing. Is humility a virtue, I ask myself, like courage, or like, no, not courage, like being a hero or something? You know, I was in a situation in mountaineering that you could say I was a hero, but I didn't feel like that. I just did what was needed. And humility has the same characteristics. It's about the natural state of being. And I thought about the word humility, what it means in linguistics, and maybe, Doran, you can help me. What will humility mean in linguistics? Sorry?
The earth,
humus. Humus, okay. And human?
The earth.
Being a human is also the earth. Yeah. So it's a very grounded natural state of being, and it's like being a human, a natural human. I recently went through a situation where I felt I was humiliated, but by moving through the experience, I discovered it was not being humiliated, but it was like being more human. Yeah, these experiences can be good for us even when they are painful, and they help us to calibrate again where we are moving in our world of, for instance, success in what we are doing. It can be a wake-up call. So humility is a natural state of being. It, to me, it's the state of being really connected and being interconnected. And connection changes. I'm connected with you, and the next moment, it shifts. Yeah, a situation I'm connected with, or an object I'm connected with. The situations change all the time, but what doesn't change is connection, being in a state of connection. It's a state of being. And when we are in that horizontal field of being connected, which is in fact the matrix of love, then we are in a state of humility, which is a result of something. Like forgiveness is a result of a process. It's not like, I forgive you. Yeah. or being a hero is a result of just doing what's needed, not I'm a hero. Yeah. This humility is a state of being, which is a natural state, not I'm humble. Yeah. So I suggest that we will do a contest here in the who is the most. Okay. Thank you. Can I?
Thank you, Ruud. I know your heart, and I know the Dutchman. I love them both. I'm so thankful to be on this journey with you. So I feel like I should have my ukulele with me. So just imagine, chink, 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 okay? Somewhere over the rainbow, chink, 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 the bluebirds fly. So during service prep, I was reminded of Israel Kamaka Viva Ole. And he made that song pretty infamous. I mean, everyone knew that song before, but he really made it big, right? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, that song. And him, you know. It's just interesting that he was made famous when he passed away. A lot of people knew him when he passed away. I didn't know about him. And I grew up on the west side of Oahu, where he was born and raised, Makaha Sons of Niihau. Like, he was the youngest of this group that I grew up with, like, wow, and then went off and he did his own music, and I didn't even know, you know, until he passed away. I would have loved to have gone to some of his concerts, or he went to elementary schools. I'm like, did he go to my elementary school? I didn't even know. You know what I mean? And it's kind of sad, you know, we miss people, or we see the angel, we see the good things about somebody when they pass away. Oh, man. I don't want to be remembered that way when I pass away. I want to be loved now. I don't want to be loved when I'm dead. Oh, I loved what she did. I loved her passion. I loved her. You know, what about now? You know? Sometimes it's hard to see through the humanity. You know, presidents especially, they say things. They say a lot of things. People in leadership do. And then their actions usually speak louder than their words, right? Just like anybody. But people in leadership, like presidents, they're under the magnifying glass like you wouldn't believe, right? From all kinds of perspectives. Languages, countries. And it's all true. It's all people's perspective. I'm not trying to discredit that. It's your perspective, and that's honorable. But can we... I feel like that's what we're trying to do here, this whole mission here, is see through to the angel. See through the angel that's trying to come through and serve, consciously or unconsciously, through that human. The human is unconscious or conscious about that gift that they have, or that mission or purpose. They're doing the best they can with what they have. They've taken on what they've taken on for some reason. It's something to disconnect from identity. Because for us to identify, we have to look to our worlds for that. So you look at me as a leader, you look at me as a Hawaiian, you look at me as this and that and this, right? And so I identify with that. What if we let go of those things in ourselves? I spoke about it at service after my shadow work class that I took, course that I took, about just the shattering of identity and what that feels like. And I've been exploring that more and more since then, obviously. And how can I just shatter the identity that I've put on you, that I've put on you, that I've put on this project, that I've put on this issue, the situation, this world? Whoa. I mean, I don't have any answers, but I'm exploring this. And I feel like that's where we need to go, you know, now, not when someone's dead. So let's do this now. Miranda.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. When we were speaking up in the living room and just talking about everything and Bush passing, we were talking about, and then people were talking about the younger Bush and Trump, and it got into people being either happy about people's legacy or really upset about what a president might be doing. And then we went into a whole discussion of having faith that no matter what it is, it's all part of the bigger plan. And multiple people were going around saying, I really have faith that, you know, people like Trump and Bush and Obama coming forward is part of this greater plan. And one person up there, you know, she was saying that she's upset that just having an attitude of faith doesn't seem right when there's such atrocious things that Trump is doing, hurting people. People are suffering. Things are being harmed. And she was feeling that it's not right to just have that faithful, passive attitude. And it really came to me that appreciating or having a larger faith in what's going on doesn't necessarily mean that you're just having it as a passive faith. You can also be passionately angry at what's going on and be faithful enough to see the big picture, but also take action, and how beautiful it can be to have a larger faith and a perspective, but see that somebody like George Bush Jr. and Trump right now are creating more chaotic anger, or what might, you know, seem to be to some people bad or good or all of this, but people waking up and seeing things more clearly, becoming more passionate, getting angry at what's going on is what our planet needs right now. And being able to have that bigger faith that these people are helping bring that change and helping to grasp that in a really faithful way. And a comment was made too that here, because we're peaceful, loving people here at Sunrise, that sometimes they feel like it's not enough. They want us to get angry. They want us to protest, or they want us to speak out as Sunrise, or want us to do something more. But to me, Sunrise and being a living example of the change, being a living example of trying to make sure humans aren't suffering and are heard and seen and loved, and being a living example of something different is a huge action, bigger than most people are out there doing, because we do it every day. We change, we leave society and change our whole lives to be here to do this with each other every day. And there's huge, huge strength in that. And right now there's, the United Nations just put out a broadcast just last week that is terrifying a lot of people. It's talking about how the Paris Agreement has not worked, how countries, no countries are really making the changes needed, and that climate change is, and carbon being put into the atmosphere and the temperatures rising on the planet is still going up in exponential rates. They just got done analyzing all of this from 2017 results. So I have family, friends, you know, kind of going into a state of panic some, but I look at that as super beautiful. Like, we should panic. We should care. We should do everything we can to find the right solutions as quickly as possible. We've done a lot to harm our planet, and we need to work to reverse that together. And I'm just appreciative for what we do here to grow our own healthy food and reduce our carbon footprint and live together and all of that. So thank you.
Thank you. So I wasn't really going to talk tonight. I know you've heard that one before, but so we got into this whole conversation about former President Bush, and it kind of went down this path. You know, we started commenting on, you know, the theme for this evening was humility, and then a lot of people were commenting about President Bush and the humility that he showed in his life, and I was losing the conversation because it was going down this political thing. I mean, it was interesting, but it wasn't igniting anything in me to share until Gary talked about something that actually tied into something that hit me earlier in the week. And it very much has to do with humility. It very much, it hit me, it made me see something differently, made me shift something. And it was, I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos with Sadhguru, and he was talking about, you know, in the yogi tradition, you know, honoring ignorance. And I don't mean like the ignorance that we think of, but honoring the fact that we really don't know anything, really. You know, and keeping that in the forefront is like, you know, like this water. What do I know about this? Do I understand this? I know what it's for. I know that it quenches my thirst. I know that it helps things to grow. What do I know about, you know, the person in front of me, really? What do I know about electricity? I use it. I know how to use it. But do I understand it? And so to take this approach in life and to really embody that and keep open to the mystery. Like, I really don't know. And you think about that. Think about that for a second. It's just to admit, I don't know. And like, you know, it's like to have to know. Isn't that create some sort of energy and some sort of stress in your being that think you gotta know? And then how much does that, like, relax when you can just say, I don't know? And then where does that lead you inside of yourself? You know, what is that not humility, right? Is that not, like, being open to the mystery? And I think for me, you know, it was poignant. I was watching one talk, and he was talking about this. This isn't the first time I've heard that message, but he said one thing, which really did seem to go with the flow of, you know, between talking about President Bush and President Trump. One of the things Sadhguru said, which I actually had to rewind it and play it again, because it was like, wow, that is a powerful statement. And what he said, and I'm paraphrasing this, but the meaning will come forth, is that the individual that honors the great mystery, that realizes that they don't know, becomes a seeker. And the individual that honors knowledge and wants to be the one that knows becomes a tyrant. That hit me. So let's be seekers. That's all I have. Thank you.
So six people in. I still got 25 minutes left. I don't know how the math works. I just don't know. I don't know. And I'm okay with that.
I don't know.
It's a really powerful thing, though. I want to follow up on what Cece was saying and actually invite you guys into a space. Join me in saying the words, I don't know, and what that feels like inside to say that. I don't know. I don't know. Does it feel a little surrendered? It's supposed to. It's supposed to. That's a form of surrendering. I don't know. I can let that go. Thinking that I do know. Or here's another good one. Let's try repeating this too and feel how it feels through moving through the body. I don't need to know. I don't need to know. How does that feel? Freeing. Isn't it interesting? Surrender leads to freedom. The world would never agree with that. But then again, we're not talking about world rules. We're talking about spirit rules. And there's a difference. And we have both of things going on inside of us all the time. Human being. I'm a temporal human living in an earth reality. The world. We all are. We got names to tell the difference. And I'm an eternal being living in an infinite reality. I'm willing to propose that one of those things is bigger than the other. The being part of ourselves, the inner soul, is bigger than the human consciousness. Maybe what even gets called sometimes the ego mind, the personality self, the personal little perspective that we have that we view the world from and think that we know everything that's going on because it's coming through that perspective. If we're not humble, as Rud was talking earlier about how humility is like a natural thing related to divine characteristic, right? I bet there's a culture out there, probably Aboriginal, that doesn't even have any word that equates to the word humble or humility, because they don't have the experience of comparing and judging. So being humble and being in humility is just the natural way of being. We step out of that natural way of being when we go into separation perspective and start comparing and judging all over the place. Think of how many different categories there are of things that we can compare in each other. Physical characteristics, character traits, qualities, personality preferences, expressions. There's so many different things. I could take one category and go through everybody in this room. Somebody's going to come up being high and somebody's going to come up being short. And if I operate off of that basis, then I'm not living in the true reality of equality, of knowing that you are a magnificent and beautiful, unique expression of the divine, living a unique perspective of life that's different than mine and different than everybody else's. It's just different. But if I take a characteristic and say, blonde hair is better than dark hair, now there's some people who land in the you're better and you're less than. And how often do we do that outside of ourselves in states of comparison and judgment? And yet even more importantly, how often do we do that inside of ourselves with states of comparison and judgment? There's a spectrum of imbalance that's experienced between the woe, low me, or the high and mighty I am. High and mighty I am. There it is. I win the humble award. The point is, they're both out of a state of imbalance because both of them is the personality judging itself based off of some sort of range of comparison to somebody else or even some mental idea of what should be. So if I'm going around and I think that I'm in this lowly state and I'm not good or good for anything, I'm not being humble. That's not what humble is. If I think that I'm better than everybody else, it's the same thing as thinking everybody's better than me. It's not balanced. They're different ends of an imbalanced spectrum that we exist in humanity. The true humility is equality. We are all unique divine beings expressing something specific and something universal through our experience. And when we relate to the mystery and the magic that lives within us, that governs all of creation, we get to, as a personality, relate to something greater than ourselves. And when we relate to that in others, we're also relating to something greater than ourselves, without trying to compare ourselves to another as far as any better or less than. As soon as we go into that, and we do it all the time, everybody's doing it. It's unconscious. If you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't do that. Spend time in stillness and watch it happen. You can't see it if you're too busy distracted with everything going around you. That was one of the main points that I heard coming out of what Hugh was sharing around Nelson Mandela. He went to jail. What do you got in jail? Not a lot of external distractions and stimulations. You don't go there for that. You go there to sit with yourself and reflect upon what you've done and come into a different space where you can be different in the world. There's probably nothing more humbling. To take that time and space and direct it within to see what's going on inside of the mind and all the chatter and bull blanks of the comparisons and judgments that we're running all the time unconsciously it's shocking when you see it. It is straight up shocking. No way. That can't be going on inside of my head. And yet there it is when I'm still enough to watch it happen. But then there's a process. There can become the process of the surrendering. The letting go unto something higher than ourselves. Not thinking that we already know it all. It was such a huge thing there about this idea of knowing. And what Cecil's bringing up, the not knowing. Did you know that the definition of the word innocence is not knowing? Or something like that? Webster might correct me, but it's in there. I don't know. And yet, how often are we in the space of thinking that we know? Like, George Bush Sr. came into the conversation because he died recently, and it's a current event. And so it's relative to the moment. We were talking about humility, and innocence is like kind of tied in there. And there's all these different perspectives on George Bush. Some see him as a humble, great leader, strong, and, you know, just real positive light. And some see him as like the beginning of a manifest antichrist. And how many of those people actually knew him? At all? I saw something as a kid, and I don't even think this was Bush, but it was one president or vice president or somebody. Somebody misspelled the word potatoes in a classroom, and all of a sudden that was the big thing on the news. That's what everybody's talking about. Dumb president, can't spell potatoes. That's a lot of thinking that you know somebody based off of one little piece of information that comes through that we just keep repeating. Even the people who know that person didn't really know them. How well do you really know the people in your life? And how often are we forming conclusions and judgments and bases of, I got you pegged and figured out, based off the little bit that we think we know? Because we see it. And here's the thing. That does not necessarily mean that your perceptions are inaccurate. Mind blower. Can't go very deep into spirituality with running into a paradox pretty quickly. This is true, but this is true also. And they look like they're saying different things. When we open up to the idea that we don't already know, we actually open up in ourselves a space of questioning. Being the seeker. And when we do that, we're opening a space to allow a part of ourselves that does already know inform us in a way that can't fully happen just by logic, reason, and physical senses. That's that eternal part of ourselves. It already knows. We don't, because we're so limited. so limited. Scale of creation, infinite. I can't even represent it, but I'm going to say it's this big. That little slice right there is what we're able to perceive with our human physical senses. Out of all that, just this little bit we get. And out of that little bit of information that we can grasp, we've put together a picture of I know what's happening in the world, in ourselves, in others. It is a way, I believe, I think that this whole idea of humility, or the absence of humility, which might be called arrogance, or like the comparing and judging, I think this is the same as what we've been talking about with the tree of life versus the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Tree of life says, I don't know, but I'm present. I want to know. I'm open to experiencing, to learning. And what is in front of me is what it is. Nothing less, nothing more. You are who you are. Nothing less, nothing more. Not comparable to anyone else. That's life. But we start putting all the rest of these constrictions on it based off what we think we know, we start killing ourselves. And then, naturally, the body starts to react to the consciousness, and you're like, what happened? I don't understand. Why do humans die so early? Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. But I believe everything comes back to consciousness. Everything comes back to consciousness. It will take action in the world to change the world, but it has to be action that comes from a consciousness that is surrendered to and aligned with the sense of spiritual being within, the source of God. When our personality thinks that it knows more than that, we're trying to play God, and we've exited out of the garden, ate from the wrong tree. Of course, you could just turn around and throw that apple away and choose another one. It really is that simple of a choice in every moment we have to be able to make a new choice. And that's a universal truth that never changes, because there's only one moment. We're always in it. Because of that truth, that's a little bit of eternality right there that we're experiencing all the time, the eternal moment. And we have a sense of ourselves that can dwell, a relax inside of the peace that comes from that. But we have to, in a sense, humble ourselves. And I think that part of that is like letting go of the ideas that we think that we already know, or that there is any comparison anywhere to be had. Better, less, different ends, still both outside of that center balance of truth. When we surrender our idea, our identity of who we think we are, something can move through that that becomes greater than who we ever were before. And that's relating to something higher, that something higher that lives inside of ourselves. Yeah, it might live inside of other people too, but if you isolate it to other people, you're missing the point. The only reason it lives in other people is because it lives everywhere in everything. It is the universal. And therefore, the more we respect that outside of ourselves and inside of ourselves, giving up the idea that I have any idea what's going on, really, like that might seem extreme. Nobody wants to walk through life thinking they have no idea what's going on. Doesn't sound fun, does it? Totally counterintuitive. But if you embrace the idea that you have no idea what's going on, what's the next thing that pops into your head? I wonder what's going on. Show me. Teach me. Lead me. Guide me. I'm open. Without openness, we're closed. And how we are with the source of life within us reflects into how we are with everything else. So we have an opportunity. This moment. Next moment. Just passed another one. Everywhere. Anywhere. Just an opportunity to say, I don't know, I don't need to know, and if it's mine to know, I'm open to let the answer flow. and Spirit, show me what I need to see. So I want to take this moment and actually open up to the entire crowd to see if anyone has anything rising in them that they would like to come up here to share, to take a couple minutes to share something in the generation of the space we're in together. So I'm just going to walk over to my seat and leave this space open if anyone wants to come up and participate in that way.
I've been thinking today about the purity of heart, of my conscious mind. Did you know that the heart is a part of your mind? And did you know that love purifies the heart? The expression of it, the knowledge of it, the experience of it. I felt so much love pouring through to George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush today. I watched the whole thing. It was powerful. There was so much love in that room. That's all I saw. That's all I felt. That's all I cared about. Really. And the love that came through for this country that was in that room, the beauty of the music, the stunning accuracy of spirit coming through each one, all in love. That's where I want to be. That's who I am. It's the genuine article. And there's a purity to that. There's a perfection to that that I just love. And I'm so glad to be here with all of you, bringing it. Thank you all who spoke tonight.
Thank you so much for saying that. My love of wanting to learn is what's kept me humble, I believe, in most of my life. The phrase kept coming to mind, forgive yourself what you don't know because you haven't learned it yet, or in some general sense of that name. And that's what reminded me, what's kept me humble most of my life, is because I kind of want to stay in that. I know that might be, I will be challenged when I grow up in life to see if I can still hold this same state of mind of wanting to be a student all my life and never to stop learning. So that might be my own challenge. But I was thinking about teachers and students today and learning and how knowledge, I don't think I ever want to know everything, because that means that I won't be able to be a student anymore and I won't be able to learn anymore. So my love of learning is what's kept me humble in life. So that's just leave that with you guys.
Hi, it's wonderful to be back with you all. And on the subject of not knowing, I want to say I have a couple of absolutes in my life. And those are, there is only love. There is only the coming of peace on earth. There is only the coming of heaven on earth. And that leads to total not knowing, because we release having to know how that's going to come to pass and judging how it is coming to pass. Thank you.
The universe has an infinite number of plan Bs. So whatever happens, you're going to end up getting there. But also that means what's showing up is a direct result of what is there right now. So as that changes, the plan of how to progress forward can also change. That's why we can never really know whether something is good or bad or right or wrong, because we can't see the whole picture the same way life itself can. And yet, we can, Ashley, always be a student, because the greatest teacher is life. And it's always with us, teaching lessons every moment. We just have to see them. And sometimes ask within to be shown what they are. Thank you for joining with us in this evening. And I wish you well on the rest of your evening and week.